And a very good evening to everybody there. This is the Ministry of Truth. It's another Thursday evening, and it's 4 minutes after 6 o'clock. We had a slightly delayed start because of a slight riot going on in the studio, but it's all cleared up now. Although I am getting some funny noises in my headphones. And I think Frank's responsible for it. Aren't you, Frank? Yes, he is. Well, good evening. We have all kinds of people with us today, but one person in particular that is continuing a program from yesterday, and maybe that person would like to talk about it for a second. Steve, is that you?
Is this my phone?
Yeah, I think so it is. Talk into it, because see if it works. Oh, wait a minute, this isn't on. Yeah. Okay, now it should work. Go ahead.
So people can hear me. I forgot what I was talking about.
No, it's still not working. I wonder why not.
Oh, no.
You have to turn it up.
That's as up as it gets, you know.
On the mixer.
Turn it up on the mixer, Eric.
Oh, someone set everything to zero. Isn't that nice? Everything that can possibly be at zero is set to zero. Okay, just like keep talking until we hear you.
Well, it seems my brain is set to zero right now.
I think you're on the first mic there.
Talk. Yeah. That's well, it depends on where we plugged it in.
Okay, that is the voice of Steve Kreitzer.
Yeah, it's a little early for me.
You're usually not in until Wednesday nights at like 9 o'clock or so.
Yeah,
is that
in fact,
right?
I'm a week early. I'm glad I only come in
Why
on Wednesday nights.
Why are you here now? Why are you here now?
Let's go back to last night.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have the tape. You want to play it back? No.
No.
Okay, last night I was having a live call and discussion about the Clash concert.
Uh-huh.
And how discouraged I was with many of the punks who were there and with the crowd in general. And
the calls are rolling in already. We haven't even given out the phone number.
This is amazing. So I was taking live calls. We were talking about the Long Island punk scene in general, and what's wrong with it and what's not wrong with it, what some people hope to accomplish.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
You were talking about some stuff that really got my interest, and that was, you know, about local concerts and things and how you're told not to bring certain items with you.
Oh, yeah.
Such as cameras and tape recorders, and you were sort of wondering if that was legal. And,
yeah, I found out it...
What is it?
I don't know.
you found out something.
I was told that if the band has it specified in their contract, no one can bring cameras in to take their pictures.
Uh-huh.
But that because what happens is if somebody takes a picture at the wrong beat, it messes the band up. But to me, if that messes the band up, then I don't consider them a band, if that's going to affect them.
Well, that's interesting.
That's pretty remarkable. But that's what, you know, I was told. And if that's, you know, going to mess the band up, I mean... Well, part of the attitude is that when you form a band, you're going out to play in front of the public, and you have to go through, face the many attitudes the public's going to throw at you, and that includes taking pictures.
Well, okay, you're talking about an attitude now, but is it legal? Can they do it?
I'm not a lawyer.
Well, you were saying last night you were saying that
I don't think it's legal. I think if the band is going up there to play in front of a public audience, then the public has the right to take pictures. It's just as if Ronald Reagan gave a speech at Stony Brook. He's a public figure. We're allowed to take pictures of him. I mean, does Ronald Reagan have in his contract we can't take his picture because it affects his speech flow?
Let's look at this another way. Supposing Ronald Reagan had an invitation only dinner in Kelly Quad Cafeteria or something like that.
That's by invitation only.
What do you think a ticket is? A ticket is an invitation you buy.
But it's available to the public. An invitation only that you were talking about in Kelly Quad would be Ronald Reagan would invite those people who he would be.
Okay. Let's have $100 a plate dinner then. They love doing that.
I consider that a public appearance.
So you think people should be able to take pictures then? Well, let's...
It's as if we go down coming up soon, the Port Jeff Arts and Crafts Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Some people consider us public figures because we're on the radio. If people want to take our picture down there, I'm not going to say, no, you can't.
You think we could ban people from taking pictures? That'd be amazing if we could do that.
Well, we can take our own pictures and sell them.
Uh-huh.
Autographed pictures of Eric Corley.
You're right to self-promotion.
You're right.
I don't have time for that kind of promotion. But
we don't have the cameras that can get away with that promotion. With
yes. Well, let's give out the phone number then. I think you know it as well as I do, so I'll let you say it this time.
No computer?
What? Phone number?
No computer, though, to say it. What happened to that old lady?
The computer's out. No, we don't have the computer.
Our number here, for those listeners out of state, that means in Connecticut and out of the 516 area code, is 516 246-7901.
But even if you are in the area, you can still dial 516. The call will just sound like it's coming from further away. Because you have to go all the way into Hicksville or something, and it's a lot of fun.
What are we doing tonight? We're going to be on delay?
I'm not sure. I think we already are on delay. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I'm in delay.
That's the difference between my audience and yours, I guess, is I can go on the air without delay.
Uh-huh.
And get away with it. In fact, I don't even have anybody screening my calls yesterday. I was taking a big risk, because who knows, your mother might have called up for you herself on the air.
Is Eric there?
Right. All right. Well, 246-7901 is our phone number. And
we're going to talk about the Long Island punk scene. In fact, we have something queued up here. Eric
this
said,
this is the kind of music Steve plays.
This is the kind of music. Let me just read what was in... I found this in the record. The band has changed their names due to reasons which will become apparent once you hear their name. Originally known as Millions of Dead Cops, they're now known as Multi-Death Corporations, and in the little sleeve here it says, MDC is a hardcore political humanist band from San Francisco. Formerly The Stains from Austin, Texas, the group changed its name and address in March of this year and released this record. It's their first album and was remixed from the original tape by Klaus Fluoride and East Bay Ray of the Dead Kennedys, remastered by Geza X and Eric Wolf. And let's see, it just says where to get their record and stuff like this. They have a few great songs on here, including John Wayne Was a Nazi, Corporate Death Burger, which is a song about Ronald McDonald. It says, let's see. Well, maybe we'll put, Ronald laughs as million stars and profits forever increase. Your stenching farts as they smile, they say they try to please. Plastic chairs and fake shakes to help it all go down.
I'm now fading Steve down. He doesn't know he's being faded down, but I'm talking anyway.
Well, what do we have
we're going to we're hear something that play. Steve plays on his show sometimes. Wow, they don't give you much time between songs, do they? Well, that's good stuff, and you can hear that kind of thing Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock here on this same radio station. 246-7901 is our telephone number. We've got Steve Kreitzer in the studio with us tonight, and I guess you're also known as Steve K to some. Is that true?
That's the bands who can't spell over the telephone. I just make it easier.
Yeah, well, Kreitzer is a hard name to spell.
Especially when you call in California and you get one of these bad connections.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have access to the good lines you do, so I just make it easier on them by saying Steve K.
Uh-huh. That's good of you to do that. You're a real humanist. 246-7901 is our phone number. USB, you're on the air. Hello there. This is one of your fans, Steve.
Oh, Steve?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jordan. How you doing?
How you doing, Ron?
He said Jordan.
Jordan.
Oh, Jordan. Sorry.
Yeah, I said this on delay. I didn't know it was on the air now.
you're...
So, I was... Hey.
This is great.
Yeah. Steve.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about an idea of mine for a meeting of all Long Island punks and skins.
Uh-huh.
We'd be setting this up, I guess, around June or the end of May.
Right.
And what we have to do is get a place where everyone could meet. You know what I'm saying? It would have to be near a train tracks.
Well, I've always told people who, you know, when I do my show Wednesday nights, the studios are open.
Yeah.
And if you people want to meet on a Wednesday night before my show from 6 to 9 p.m. or something like that here in the Union.
I'm talking about a big, sort of a BYO. Long Island BYO.
Well, what's wrong with using the union here to, as a meeting place?
I mean, we can do that.
Can I ask a question? A meeting for what? What do you do at these meetings?
Yeah, the same thing we're doing here on the air, but it'd be a lot different. We can't get everyone to voice their opinions here on the air.
Well, so far you haven't voiced any.
Yeah, I know.
Let's give it a try, huh?
Yeah, I just have one word of warning to the people who are going to call up. Eric's not as agreeable as and laid back as I am to callers. He gets a little...
I'm vicious sometimes, I'll admit it.
So,
speak your piece,
speak
or
your peace
rest in peace.
Well, what I was talking about was Long Island BYO. We got to set something up. We have to organize this.
Well, it seems to me, though, is if right now someone called up last night, there's another fanzine being started up.
Why be you?
No, another one besides that called Crisis.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what that has to do with Kreitzer, but it just seems that if, you know, you guys can't get together and put out one definite magazine.
We were thinking of that, but we don't know if that would be such a good idea.
How can you guys get together?
Why wouldn't it be a good idea to put out a magazine?
Put everyone's ideas into one. We have to diversify.
Isn't that the whole idea of punk, is to present different opinions?
Yeah.
And you know, argue over them and let people know.
Give people a choice.
Give people the choice. If everybody comes out with one magazine, then one attitude is going to be expressed in that magazine, and that's it, and other viewpoints won't get expressed. And
the
people you want to hit with those viewpoints will just miss out on it.
Right.
You know, that's why I think, you know, if you know, before you do anything else, combine your forces and get one magazine out.
Yeah.
And if you can get together to meet on that, that's definitely going to grow into what you want to do, like a BYO.
Yeah.
Is
Margo and Ron coming down next week?
Margo and Ron will be down next week. I don't know what time they're coming down, but they're going to be talking about YBU.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to call up before the show and talk to them.
I'm thinking of coming down.
Or if you want to come down too, you know.
The second issue of Voice for Generation will be out next week.
Uh-huh.
Tell me something. You have a magazine, I assume.
Yeah.
Give the folks an address so that they can get copies if they want them.
Okay. What you have to do is send 2 stamps because I'm putting all my money into this. I'm paying for this whole thing myself.
Okay.
The magazine itself is free if you want to get it at Record Stop.
Okay.
If you want to write to me, just send 2 stamps to Voice of a Generation, 7 Swistone, Swissstone Street, Medford, New York, 11763.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that with us.
All right, thanks for letting me.
God bless you. 2467901 is our phone number, and who knows who's on this line. USB, you're on the air.
All right, here I am, yeah. Well, I kind of got a lot to say, but most important of all, getting back to what Jordan said, I think that more than anything, it's the people that are important in the whole scene, which is something that sometimes people tend to overlook. And I think, it's great making the contacts. I think that's what people have to do, and it seems that recently that's been really happening a lot with the fanzines coming out and stuff like that. And I was just talking, Jordan, if you saw out there, to a guy named Kevin who says he'd be willing to deliver your magazines to a few more places. You know, and it's that kind of contact I think that's really important. That I think that really has started with the show, you know, on Wednesday nights.
Uh-huh.
And another thing that I wanted to say was that in any group, it can't be denied that hardcore punk, whatever you call it, is a group, you know. It's going to be the minority that carries the weight. So, sure, if these shows like The Clash Show or whatever, there's going to be problems, there's going to be whatever, but the thing that I think to demonstrate, for Long Island people here, to demonstrate their, I don't know what you want to call it, but to demonstrate themselves, is rather than to worry about it, rather than to make an assault or whatever, it's to kind of just show, you know, quietly do what we, you know, express ourselves, you know what I mean?
But do you think it's a good idea to sit idly by while the Clash Roadies beat up somebody who is just trying to have some fun dancing in the audience?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that, is that we will demonstrate ourselves by just being ourselves, you know?
Can I ask a question here of you, Steve? Now, you say that's the second time you mentioned that. You mentioned it last night that the Clash Roadies beat up somebody. I think I saw the same thing you did at the concert, where somebody jumped up on stage and was brought into the back. Now, did you see more than me?
I saw about 2-3 people dragged into the back for doing something known as, I don't know if they were stage diving because it's a little difficult to get to the stage, but Some punk clubs, their idea of dancing is jumping up on a stage, doing a few dance steps, and diving into the crowd. I don't know what that signifies. I don't know what they're trying to show or anything like that. It's their one step at stardom. But if that's how they want to have fun and everything like that, and the rest of the crowd doesn't, you know, mind or anything like that, and it didn't seem like anybody was really getting hurt, you know, I don't see any reason for the guy, the roadie, to point the guy out, people to drag him up, and then forcibly force him out of the place. I mean, here's the Clash saying they want to get back to their punk roots, when I think right now they've lost their punk roots.
Well, I don't consider them a punk band. I really never did. They just don't have that same punk type of a thing that I see in other bands.
Well, there's a difference between English punk and American punk.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure, too. But I think it was probably justified if they don't want people on the stage, if somebody jumps up on a stage, for them to try to get that person out of there. Now, unless you actually saw them being physically abused, and I don't think being dragged away is being physically abused when you really ask for it.
I saw him get hit in the head twice by this guy.
Yeah? Okay.
That's what I saw. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't a love tap or anything like that. This guy actually hit him in the head twice. That was one person. I don't know what they did to the other people. You know, if that's what they want to do, is beat up the kids, let them. I mean, they're just, you know, the whole impact of what they're trying to say gets lost when they do something like that.
Well, a lot of the kids seem to want to beat up people, too. Isn't that part of the punk scene?
No.
Violence?
No.
Slam dancing?
That's not really violence. It's sort of like a... it's sort of like a football initiation, I guess you could say. Everybody jumps on each other.
Okay, sir, thank you for calling.
He's not done yet. Oh. You know,
we have more calls. The phone's going to break.
Well, all right, just shortly. The thing, it's kind of hard to phrase it.
No, I do agree, though, you know, with what you're saying, is that, you know, maybe we should sit in the background and, you know, do it quietly, get a scene going.
Right, well, I think, see, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what's happening.
But the thing is, you know, if we can't, you know, just go into the city and while, you know, some of these punks or whatever like that are out there snipping glue and beating up homosexuals after the show, we can't just sit idly by and say, well, let somebody else take care of that. We should, you know, at least go up to them and tell them that we think what they're doing is...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that the building the whole scene on friendship as well as creativity, you know, will produce results like that. They'll see eventually, you know, hey, without us telling them outright, you know, hey, we got a better scene or we got a better attitude, you know, which I think we do, all around. Without telling them that, you know, they'll just see it, I think.
Right.
Where are you calling from, sir?
St. James, Coast Harbor.
Okay, thanks for calling.
I just want to, you know, before we go to another call, is just because I play punk on Wednesday nights and stuff like that, it doesn't make me an authority on the scene or anything like that. I just, you know, I'm an active observer. I try to get involved, but I don't know everything there is to know about the scene.
It's sort of like a crossroads for these people. They can communicate through you.
Yeah.
That's a good way to be.
In fact, if there's any people out there, I mean, have any comments about my show in general or what I can do to improve it, you know, I take those too into consideration. Because, you know, sometimes I come in here each week and I don't know what I'm going to do next. Some of the creativity gets a little lost.
That's how most of us here are. We never know what we're going to do next. I'm not sure what I'm going to do in 2 minutes.
Hopefully go to another call.
That'd be nice. 246-7901 is our phone number. USB, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, this is Bob from Crisis out in Northport. I was calling in a refer of Jordan's call, and I'm just looking for people out in the island now because, I mean, I've got no one helping me. I mean, no one wants to even, like, push a finger just to even help me. And I just referring, you know, if he wants to join up and get this going together, I mean, I definitely need help. You know, I'm getting a lot of stuff from, like, Chicago and L.A. and all over except for New York. No one's, like, actually, no one even really cares.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? I don't know if they can hear
me. Sure.
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good. Okay.
Okay. Jordan came out with a magazine about 2 months ago. What made you go out and decide to start your own?
Why didn't you go... Lately, I was just in Fatal Vision. Now that's kind of subsided. There's just nothing that for me to do for the scene, you know, instead of just sit around my butt and do nothing and go to see shows.
So why don't you go call Jordan up and ask him if you can help him out? Why does he have to come help you out?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, I mean, join forces. Because no one wants to get anything going here. I just don't want help. I want to, you know, contribute. that's mostly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, well, I've been giving Jordan's phone number out a few times on occasion when I remember, along with all the other stuff I have to give out. And I have asked people to contribute to his magazine. I have asked people to contribute to YBU. And from what Jordan's told me, he's gotten very negligible response. Mm-hmm. Where were you when I was doing that?
Well, I mean, I've...
Come on.
Yeah, I've written stuff, but I mean, I've had no... I knew about his fanzine, but I've written mostly other stuff to, like, different places, like L.A., because no one... A lot of people just have not responded from New York. So, I mean, I've sent a lot of stuff to the city, and no one's responded at all. Lately, I mean, I've got to get to send out my stuff from my own zine, and I mean, no one else has really responded. But so now I'm asking out there, you know, if anyone wants to like join this, get this thing going, because none of the other fanzines really have any time for anyone else, because they're having enough trouble with the New York stuff, getting it done themselves.
Well, here you are asking people to help join your fanzine, where
I want someone else to join up with.
Well, you have Jordan's address?
Well, yeah, I got it. Swiss Stone Street.
Right.
I wonder if I can get his number.
Write to him and either get his phone number or call me up next Wednesday night. I'll give you his phone number.
I don't know
if Jordan wants his phone number given out over the air or not, but...
Didn't you say you were giving out his phone number over the air?
No, I gave his address out.
Oh, I said his phone number.
I said I'd give him his phone number next week when he calls up on my show, but that would be off the air.
If you want people, the person calling, if you want people to contact you, how can they do that?
I gave Steve the address last night, but you want me to repeat it?
Go ahead.
Okay, it's Crisis in care of Bob at 30 Green Tree Court, Northport, New York, and its area code is 11768.
That's a zip code, by the way. Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
So long. Oh, boy, 246-7901 is our phone number if you want to comment on the music scene. And I kind of like to expand a little bit and talk about how you guys are influencing, you know, the broader picture. Like we were talking about concerts and cameras not being allowed there and people who frisk you and that kind of stuff. And that's pretty interesting because everybody, you know, not just the hardcore people, but everybody has to experience that. Everyone ends up going to a concert where they're searched, and, you know, people who go to concerts anyway. So,
let's go back to the same person who called up last night told me about the cameras and stuff also mm-hmm. said, if you go to a concert here at Stony Brook, they have no right to frisk you. They can ask to search your coat, ask to search your pocketbook, but if they are not allowed to actually physically touch you and frisk you. If they do try to do that, tell them no, and you'll press charges of... I forget the term.
Uh-huh.
But they're not allowed to physically frisk you.
By what law are they not allowed?
The Rich Koch Law of Information Act, I guess. That's what Rich told me. He says they are not allowed to frisk you by law. He says they are allowed to search through your coat, you know, and you can remove your coat, have them search through that. They can search through your pocketbook if you have one.
But
they cannot physically touch you and frisk you.
They're not allowed to frisk you, but what they can do is if you don't let them frisk you, can they refuse you entrance?
If they frisk you, you can ask for a refund. They can't refuse you entrance.
If they frisk you,
have signs posted up saying no liquor, no beers, everything like that, and you go in and you have a beer hidden in your pocket and they catch you with it, they can actually throw you out.
Well, okay, no, what I was saying is like, it's kind of like the breathalyzer thing. Like, you can refuse a breathalyzer test, but you lose your license automatically.
Right.
So if you refuse to let them frisk you,
you don't lose your right to go into that concert.
Okay, that's what I want.
That's what Rich said. Is he actually told the guy if the guy touched it to him, he was going to press charges or something like that.
Well, I'd just like to hear the official version of this.
I hope Rich is Rich is at work right now. I hope he tunes in later so he can get cleared this up.
Yeah.
And, that's what he told me, and both of us are known troublemakers.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, well, our phone number, once again, is 246-7901, area code 516, and we have some calls waiting. And USB, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about this thing. I called up last night, and Steve said to call back.
Right.
And you did that.
And I did that.
Great.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, Steve, if you think the Clash had anything to do with them not being able to take pictures so that the people there could go out and spend more money on their posters, because I bet that's the real reason behind it.
The Clash probably did have in their contract that no photographs would be allowed to be taken.
Did you find that out? Because you're singing a different tune than yesterday, because you were making it with, like, the security that had that.
The security who's carrying it out, yes, but...
If they make that stipulation, just like they made the stipulation that they didn't want general admission, at Hofstra, at Hofstra University, then...
It all depends on whether the Clash had it in their contract or not. We're not allowed to look at the band's contracts. I have no idea.
Well, I bet you they did. Just like they made that stipulation about the general admission. So it's them, because they want you, the people that they're trying to appeal to spend more money on their posters and the other paraphernalia that they sell there at a profit.
You sound surprised.
I'm not surprised. I think Steve is taken aback because he was saying it was the security that had something.
I was saying it was security who was harassing people.
They have no right to do that, but as far as...
I didn't say anything about security grabbing cameras or anything like that.
They did?
I didn't say that.
Oh. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that, you know, that's...
No, I'm just saying, though, that as a group, I wasn't talking about the concert people. I was talking as a group, the Clash really, they shouldn't do that. They should actually let people take their pictures.
No, you were saying yesterday that the security had something to do with it, about not taking pictures, that you didn't know who it was, and I said, well, you should find out, because you were saying, well, it's the government and this and that, and you were looking for some kind of hidden reason, but meanwhile, the hidden reason is money, because those people just want their money that you spend on their posters that they sell in Record World and all over.
Okay, you got your voice on the radio. Can we go to another call?
I don't know. Can you?
Sounds reasonable to me.
Okay, let's go to another call.
No, I mean, what he's saying.
I agree with him. He's allowed to his opinion.
I know, but
you're
denying the whole thing, that the movement itself is destructive and it has no other purpose.
Are you? Let me ask you a question. Are you involved with the movement?
No. I have no...
Okay, when I talked last night, I asked for people who are involved in the punk scene to
come in and... Why, what's the matter? You only want to hear one side of the movement, the people that are within it? That's
the whole idea of my show, is I'm trying to appeal to people who are interested in the music.
Maybe this is the reason why people don't want to get involved, because they see this from an outside position. The people that are inside have a colored view of it. They see what they want to see, but I'm giving you opinion of an outsider. Somebody's looking outside and seeing.
And I agree with your opinion. You're allowed to your opinion.
And I believe that Eric agrees with me too, because what he was saying before, that slam dancing, this, what is that, football? Give me a break. There's no other purpose than to destroy each other. There is no reason for it, and you cannot rationalize any reason for it. Okay?
Where are you calling from, sir?
Where am I calling from? Centerreach.
Centerreach.
Home of the ADC.
Uh-huh.
Oh, by the way, Mr.
Who?
Mr. I don't know your name, so I just said Mr.
The who? The home of the what?
Never mind.
Yeah?
Did you ever call into a show called The Beat?
No.
Do we have to talk about that?
No, I just want to know, why do you listen to my show?
Because I like to hear all different kinds of music. I may enjoy the music, but I don't enjoy the scene, going to see it and getting beat up.
Steve, you seem to think that everybody who listens to your show should be a part of some sort of a movement.
What is this
movement?
I just think the people who are interested in my show are interested in the music themselves. And
I listen to all the music that's played there.
I can understand that, but there are also people who listen to my show who do call up and give me information on what's happening, or are interested in getting involved.
Well, you wanted a view. You wanted a view of what people see when they're standing from the inside, and I think as well as outside. And I'm giving you my opinion of what I see.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
So long.
Bye.
246-7901 is our number. Hi, Lee.
At this point, I'm going to depart.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Goodbye, Lee. Everyone say goodbye to Lee.
Bye, Lee.
Bye, Steve.
Where's he going to the Rainy Night House?
He is?
Yes, it says on his note.
Oh. He didn't offer to get me anything.
Another one leaves his record out. Hang him up by his
toes. Oh, boy. 246-7901. Once again, it's still our phone number. Area code 516. And let's go to a call. Does that sound okay with you? Let's do it. Could you turn my cassette over, wouldn't you? Yeah, thank you. I'll answer the call. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, you were talking about the Clash before.
We were.
And as I was coming into the concert, some security guard outside stopped the kid because he was wearing a leather bracelet with spikes on it.
Uh-huh.
And, these weren't nails. These were just short spikes. And, made him leave the place. And he had to take it off and then come back. And then when he came back, he was wearing another leather bracelet, but it didn't have spikes. It was just metallic squares. And again, he was told to go away.
Uh-huh.
So, I think the security guards weren't very good at all.
Because they let people like that in? Is that what you're saying?
No, because they told him to leave.
Because he was wearing a metal bracelet.
Right.
I see.
The kid said, you know, I don't see any rules about that. And this guy said, well, it's my rule. So he had to leave.
Uh-huh.
I just want to bring up one point. A lot of people who come to the concerts, you know, I can't talk for Stony Brook concerts and everything like that. And the way they're run, I wouldn't want to talk for them. But the people who do come to Stony Brook, when they are picked upon and when they are told to do stuff that they don't agree with, a lot of them just take it in stride, do what they're told, and go and enjoy the show. If one or two people, if that happens to you, call up the next day, complain. I mean, you might think you're not going to be accomplishing anything, but if you get one call gets through to somebody, or two calls or something like that, everybody thinks, well, it's just me it's happening to. You'll find out it's not just you it's happening to. It's happening to a lot of other people that go to these concerts. And if everybody, instead of taking an apathetic attitude and sitting back and saying, okay, I'll do it, let me go see the show, everybody called up the next day and tried and called every 15 minutes till they got through to somebody. That's making a big statement right there that you're not satisfied with the way things are run here. If you just sit back and let them say, okay, you're not allowed in because you have spikes on your wrist, I mean, then it's going to, you know, they're going to continue to do so. And it's going to happen to the next concert where it might not be you, it might be someone else. And that just gives Stony Brook a bad, you know, reputation, which, you know, is unfortunate, you know, because a lot of the people who came to see the Clash were from off campus. And they come to Stony Brook and they're told, you know, you can't wear this and you can't wear that and you can't take pictures and you can't have beer bottles and, you know, you can't dress like this and you have a mohawk, he's going to cause trouble. Let's keep our eyes on him. you know, if these people keep getting their ways like this, you know, it just gives Stony Brook a bad reputation for concerts. And I really feel sorry because, you know, I had an enjoyable 5 years here and I think it's a really good campus. And it's just sad that people from the outside don't get to see what really goes on in here.
Yeah, well, people around them were objecting, but, you know, they didn't want to stand around having a fight with this guy. They just wanted to go in and see the concert.
Yeah, and if this happens, I said this last night, if it happens to you, take the guy's name down. If he refuses to give your name, find somebody else and tell them, say, this guy won't let me in because he doesn't like what I'm wearing. Either they'll let you in or just keep going till you hit somebody. You know, look for someone in authority. As someone was saying the other day, they tried to leave. Someone had wired the doors shut so they couldn't leave. That's an absolute fire hazard. There is a fire marshal, I am told, who appears at every concert.
Bill Schultz is his name.
And he can be found backstage. If that happens, immediately find someone, ask them where the fire marshal is, report the guy to him, and that guy will never work a concert again.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, if you just say, okay, he wired the door on me, I'm going to go through the other door, then they're going to let it happen next time. And next time, and it's just going to keep happening and happening, and, you know, all these rules are going to start to be slowly pressed down through you, gradually and gradually.
Well, the Clash, they say they're supposedly for the oppressed and poor, etc. But when it comes to this picture taking and the shirts, $12, $20 is one. You know, I can't see it.
That's something about that you have to talk to Eric about. He's the authority on the Clash.
Was it you wanted to know?
Why would they charge such outrageous prices for their shirts when they're trying to reach the people?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, here they say they want to reach the people, but here they play these large gymnasium.
I don't think you're gonna find consistency in any commercial act. You know, you can always accuse somebody of trying to make money. That's what the whole thing is about. When I talked to Cosmo a couple of years ago, I did ask him something along those lines, and he said, it's got the records and the concerts, they have to be run like a business, but the music doesn't have to be put out like a business, if you know what I mean. The music itself is what counts in the end, but the tours and everything, that's got to be run in a certain way to maintain any kind of order. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's what he said.
Yeah, because, this thing about they're saying they're getting back to their punk roots, and, I haven't seen a scene like that before where, because I saw these kids would get brought up on the stage and they'd bring them behind, and they would let them go back out into the audience, but, you know, they couldn't get their position back in the front row again. And I did see that guy get hit by the roadie.
Uh-huh.
I liked how the one of the new guitarists was doing his Billy Idol imitation throughout the concert with the sneers and the grimaces that you see on a Billy Idol video. That made me laugh. And also the frequent running back and forth across stage. Are the Clash sponsored by Nike running shoes, Eric?
Okay, enough of the sarcastic remarks. But I just want to point out one thing. When someone gets beat up by a roadie, I don't think he's being beat up with the full support of every single band member. I mean, I don't take a vote saying, should we beat up this guy? Does this represent our image? Things happen, and there is no black and white. You know, you can't say this happens, and that means that these people think this.
But the roadie should at least take the time out to either take him backstage and say, listen, don't do it again, or else we're going to have to eject you. Just don't grab him and slap him on the side of the head.
Find out who the roadie is and complain about that particular roadie.
They're in Texas by now. I can't do that.
Sure you can.
You have the
That's, you know, what you said before is very true about pursuing things, complaining. Very few people follow up on things. They see something that they object to, and they forget about it the next day. But if you make a phone call, if you just pursue it a little bit, you'll find that you actually get someplace because so few people do that. I've talked to some, you know, legislators and congressmen who say that, you know, if I had gotten four letters on a particular issue, four letters, it would have changed my mind. But they didn't. An important issue. It's true of just about anything. It's true here at Stony Brook. It's true out in the world, too. Nobody really does anything. That means that the people who do things can do a lot more.
If you have a complaint and you don't follow through with it, you're falling right into what everybody... you're grown up to be brought up into be, and that's being taught to be sheep. Did that make sense?
Sheep? Oh, yeah, sheep. I thought you were trying to say cheap.
No, sheep. You're sheep. Taught to follow along, you know, passively and without complaining, you know, right, either sheep or cattle right into the slaughterhouse, you know. Here they are, just led right in row after row. They don't have a say, you know, and this is what, you know, you're brought up to be is like, okay, you know, they want you to register for the draft, register for the draft. Don't complain. But if everybody who was complaining, you know, back in, when did the draft start, 78? When was I, 18? In 78, when they had the draft, the renewal of the draft registration, if everybody who said they didn't like it didn't register, there would have been a big gap, and someone would have sat up and taken notice and said, hey, only 30% of all the eligible people bothered to register. That means they're dissatisfied out there. And, you know, that's the way of letting yourself known. Call the people up. You have a complaint, call up SAB Concerts. Call up somebody in administration. Call up the fire marshal. Complain. Let your voice be heard.
Be obnoxious. Be a pest. It gets you places.
Be an Eric Corley.
Thanks for calling, sir.
Okay.
Sorry about that. 246-7901 is our phone number. The person who was ringing the yellow line before, if they want to be on the air, call us up on the office line, and we will put you on. I just happened to see that ringing. USB, you're on the air.
I'd like to comment on a similar situation to the clash that happened to me in the city.
Uh-huh.
I went to CB's a couple of weeks ago, and I got frisked, and they made me open my record bag, and I'd just like to say that that's pretty poor to happen to you, especially at a big club like that.
Well, I think the problem with CB's is when they ask you to open up your record bag is that there have been some bad incidents going on down there. And I think just to protect themselves, they just want to make sure nobody's bringing in any knives or stuff like
that. Isn't that the exact same thing at Stony Brook, though? Aren't people trying to protect themselves from something like that happening?
They weren't even letting the kids sit on the stage, though.
Where, at CB's?
Yeah.
I really can't comment. All I know is that they closed down because the scene was getting out of hand in New York. And it's caused by a few, but it affects a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, if someone took the time to talk to the person who's making an ass of himself and let him be known, you know, that he's doing this, you know, maybe he'll think twice before doing it next time.
Yeah. All right, that's all I have to say.
Thanks for calling. 246-7901 is our number. I don't know. I don't really feel like I'm being violated when I'm frisked because it happens so fast, you know. It's not as if you're really being hassled and ask questions about your heritage and stuff like that. But I suppose, you know, I feel more offended when I try to go someplace and I'm told that I'm not dressed in the appropriate way, you know. Especially if it's a place where you're not supposed to worry about things like that. You know, a place like, well, I guess I can talk about the places that, no, I can't talk about them because they're still in business, but places... clubs for young people. Why do they have dress codes? Why do they say you must wear a collar? You know, why stupid things like that? That's what really upsets me. I guess you have no feelings on that whatsoever, huh?
I don't know. Is that a question, or you just
think... Well, I'm just commenting. I just think that's, you know, that's more harassment than just being frisked, you know.
No, I totally agree, but that's what the club owners want to do, and if they want to limit their clientele to those people, you know, fine, let them go out of business in another year.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing, you know, all these clubs open up 23 and older. I have one complaint, is that there is no all-ages club on Long Island, that anybody of any age can get in where they, you know, serve beverages instead of liquor and everything like that. And if some a kid 15 years old who wants to see a band can get in and see him.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wish there would be one club owner out there who would take the chance to have a band come in, invite any age in, and see, and let everybody have a good time. You don't have to sell liquor. You don't have to.
Yeah, but it's too much emphasis on liquor. You know, that's what a club is. You can't have a club without having a beer. Why does it have to be that way? You know, what's wrong with going out and you know, seeing a band and having a Coke or something? Except that, you know, they're a horrible company anyway. Why is this always? The reason people can't go to clubs is because they're not old enough, but the only reason they're not old enough is because they sell drinks there.
Right, and the thing is that's where the clubs make all their profits is on the drinks.
Uh-huh. And then there's no place for younger kids to go, so they hang out on streets and break things, and people wonder why they do that.
Right.
Because they don't want to stay home and watch HBO all night long, I guess.
Mr. T.
Let's go to the phones. USB, you're on the air.
Hello, Steve. It's Greg. Hello, Eric.
Hi there. Greg.
Hi. I think we should make Eric Corley a permanent member of the so-called scene around here. He's brought up a lot of good ideas and points.
Oh, boy.
What have I done?
Why liquor and music all the time? Is this like some sort of leftover thing from like the 60s where people have to be wasted out of their minds to enjoy the music?
Doesn't say much for the music, does it?
It doesn't really go together, I don't think, especially, you know, the high energy of punk and things like that. You don't really want to be bogged down with alcohol, although I must admit sometimes it is a little bit fun. But I find most of the people, and especially younger people that can't, you know, go out to clubs and drink, they're the people that are really the fanatics that are into the music. Most people, when they get older, into their 20s, they're too into college or other things in their life that they don't really pay attention. So a lot of times people, you know, that go to the clubs and stuff like that aren't really the good audience. I would maybe put a suggestion out to people on Long Island that are in the theater business to open up their doors to their theater for maybe a Sunday afternoon and give it a shot, because you could probably get three or four bands in there for well under $800, I would think, or, you know, somewhere in that area. And I'd say you'd get a pretty good turnout. You wouldn't have to worry about the liquor laws and things like that. Serve the regular snacks that they do in a movie theater and take it from there.
Yeah, I just want to bring up a point. Last year at Stony Brook, we could have gotten a concert with four bands, well-known bands, for $400. That comes out to about $100 a band.
Exactly.
And Stony Brook concerts didn't want to go for it.
But what did they lose on Eddie Grant?
What did they lose? And that's
why didn't they want to go for it? There must be a reason.
Why?
Intimidation of the punk scene,
I think
scene,
either intimidation is that.
Media distortion.
Or they start bringing up the idea as well, to get a stage set up and to get ushers and this and that, it would cost more than that. And, you know, a PA system, but the band supply their own PA. A lighting system, all you need is one or two spotlights just to cover the stage. That's it. Ushers, I mean, you know, plus I wanted an all-ages show.
Mm-hmm.
And their response was, well, we gear our concerts for Stony Brook students only.
Who were they to say what Stony Brook students
And if you go to a concert here, you'll find out the majority of people who go to concerts at Stony Brook aren't students.
Yeah, well, you know, you could say who are they to dictate what Stony Brook students like, but one thing is for sure, Stony Brook students are not saying it themselves.
That's
only about 100 people vote, you know, when there are elections. It's horrible. I've never seen such a degree of apathy, even though it is representative of the world.
Yeah, they had the vote for the president last week,
uh-huh,
for campus president, and there was maybe 2,000 votes cast out of what? This is 16,000 undergraduate
at
body
least
here.
At least
out of 16,000, 2,000 took the time out to vote. That's pretty, you know, sad statement about Stony Brook.
And that's considered good, I think. I think they said voting was heavy. But it's like that in the country too. It's, you know, I'd rather a place like El Salvador where the voting is 110% of the population, you know. Why can't we have that kind of enthusiasm here? Well, thanks for calling, sir.
Okay, I'd like to make one other point, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
CBGB's Friskings. This is a relatively new thing, and from what I've gotten out of it when I inquired is that there's new owners at CBGB's. And I guess they're a little bit distorted on what goes on in the punk scene, and they have all these big surly-looking bouncers and stuff there, and they have this one rather pest of a woman who does indeed frisk you quite physically if she desires, and this is something that never ever used to go on there. A number of people have made quite a few complaints, and nothing's really happened. This might be a contributing factor also, you know, to their not doing punk anymore because of the people complaining and things like that about incidents couldn't even sit on the stage. Why does he want to sit on the stage? Get up and watch the band. What are you, part of the, you know, why sit there? Get up and get into the music and be a part of the audience. Don't try to pretend you're part of the band. Go get a guitar if you want to do that. It's my little statement to that remark, if you will.
Well, thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah. keep up the good work. You guys are making a lot of good points there.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
See bye-bye. You next Wednesday there, Steve.
Yep.
He'll be here. See ya. 246-7901.
Okay, one thing, you know, I also want to stress is that, you know, for the people who go to the punk shows, don't feel intimidated by the band. I mean, before or after the show, go up to them and talk to them. They're really nice people, and they like in talking to you.
I don't know if everyone knows this, but do you know the Clash let everybody backstage after the show? Everybody who wanted to go backstage, they let in.
Really?
And they could meet the band members and talk to them and everything. It was great, but not everybody knew about it, and I guess that's a good thing, mm-hmm. because they would have had 1,000 people back there, and instead they only had a couple of hundred, if that many.
But, you know, if you go to a show, take the time out to talk to the band. Go backstage.
Most times they want to talk to people.
Ask them what their songs mean. In fact, I'd like to bring up a point which, you know, still amazes me, and Greg will probably yell at me for asking this, but it's that... all these punk bands that sort of come out nowadays say they want to make a statement, but when you listen to their music, the lyrics are so distorted and lost in the guitars and drums mm-hmm. that you can't hear what they're saying.
Maybe that's a
statement. My advice to bands out there, you know, turn your lyrics up, turn the bass and guitars and drums down a bit so we can hear what you're saying. I mean, I read some of the lyrics to your songs and they're really saying something, but then I play the record on the air and no one has any idea what you're talking about. And I'm not going to sit there and read the lyrics over the air after the song plays. I tried doing that once, and it just sounded terrible.
A lot of times the lyrics aren't the most important part of the song. A lot of times it's just the voice is being used as another instrument, and it doesn't say any more than a guitar says, you know. And that's interesting, too. But other times when the lyrics are important, when the lyrics are good, it's frustrating that you can't understand them and that someone that you want to show the band to can't understand the lyrics. See how much they're worth. USB, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Max.
How you doing, Max?
Yeah. Just wanna about this stuff, you know, about nobody doing anything. We've got a show on the 13th, which somehow has been neglected to be mentioned.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. In fact, I have a list in my pocket of all shows I'm going to mention tonight at the end of this show. I have that down. But why don't you go ahead anyway and mention it?
That's going to be all ages. It's $3 of which none of us are seeing, and there's no liquor, you know, and all that stuff. And it's on a Sunday afternoon, so I think...
Okay, the band is the Coffee Achievers. They're playing where?
At the Setauket Neighborhood House.
Okay.
Wow, you booked that place, huh?
What?
That's great. You know, that place...
Yeah, with our school's literary magazine.
That place is used every single day of the year at least once, sometimes more than once. It's a great place.
No, we got in through a school magazine, so.
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be other stuff there, too, like a folk singer and all that. But
not Lou Stevens.
These guys like Jordan and Mark and all those guys, I expect to see you there, you know.
Okay, let's...
I'm picking them up.
Right. Everybody talks about...
You're going to take the bus.
Here's the show. This is it.
Anyone else?
Sunday the 13th at the Setauket Roadhouse. Everybody who says they want to have a show.
Neighborhood House.
That's Mother's Day.
Neighborhood House. After I don't know.
Across the street from the Duck Pond on Main Street.
Yeah, that's the Setauket Neighborhood House. Oh. A right fine place, if I do say so myself.
A what?
A good place. I like it. Okay, maybe I'll see you there. If I'm
about Doc Steve.
Yeah.
Well, why do you object to the bands running around stage? Because
no, I was talking about the Clash. It just seemed they were running back and forth on stage. I couldn't understand why half the time. It seemed that they were doing an awful lot of running.
Well,
and that sort of distracted me from, you know, watching the multimedia presentation they had.
I tell you, it helps a heck of a lot to you know, get off the nervousness, you know.
Yeah, ask Springsteen. He runs all over the place.
I mean,
he runs into the crowd.
When I get on stage, so I jump around, and the nervousness is gone, and I'm one with the audience, you know.
Right, but how does that nervousness last throughout the whole show?
No, it's gone as soon as I start dancing.
Yeah, well, these guys were doing it throughout the whole show, and I was just making a sarcastic remark.
Was it predictable the way they were running?
Yes.
Well, that's bad.
Oh, I hate it when it's choreographed.
Yeah. But they're by no means alone doing that. I think 99% of all bands probably do that.
Well, they want to put on the best show they can. I can see that.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
This may be our last call, but in case it's not, 246-7901 is our phone number. USB, you're on the air.
Well, Steve, this is Fax again.
How you doing, Fax?
We're being well represented tonight. But I'd like to say about the Clash concert, you know, the running around while it was choreographed, you know, I don't think it was really detrimental to the show. I think that a lot of the people that were there weren't going to see a punk show.
I agree with you there.
And in that respect, they lived up to what, you know, the people wanted. I mean, I don't really, you can't go to, they're just always going to be a commercial band. And you're never going to get, you know, you're never going to go to a Clash concert expecting to see more of a hardcore kind of show. I still enjoy it. I think that as far as Stony Brook security goes, I mean, you know, with the frisking, I've gone, you know, to all kinds of concerts at Stony Brook, and I've never really felt that bad about it. I don't mind frisking when it's not done tastelessly. I went to another concert at CW Post where I can really honestly say, I mean, I was, like, violated, okay? you know, you had a couple of, you know, jocks there frisking, and as soon as this, I happened to be wearing my boots and my coat, and as soon as they saw me walking in, they said, oh, let's hit this guy, you know, I know I'm going to find something on him. They went up and down me three times, you know, and they just didn't find anything, and I think they were really kind of ticked off about the fact that they didn't find anything, as a matter of fact. I want to defend, I know Mark was the kid who called in. I was with him that day when the people were told to stop sitting on the stage and such, and he does happen to play guitar in a band, Rain Decay, and also it was in between acts that they were sitting on the stage. It wasn't like they were really interfering with the show or anything. I think it really has become kind of oppressive at CB's. I really don't think, you know, the scene is quite as permissive as it was.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right.
Steve, you got some dates to read off?
The time's up already?
Just about. Well, read the dates. We'll see if we have any time.
Okay. Let's see what's happening. This Friday, May 4th, at the Anthrax Gallery up in Stamford, Connecticut. An all-ages club, by the way. Admission is basically whatever you can pay, which is really good. You know, the more you can give, the better it is for them up there. They'll be having Ruin, a band called NMOT, which stands for No Milk on Tuesday, Numb Sex, and the Butcher Brothers. They're at the Anthrax Gallery, 70 Main Street, Stamford, Connecticut. How come my levels aren't moving? This Friday, May 4th.
Because you're looking at your levels.
Ruin, No Milk on Tuesday, Numb Sex, the Butcher Brothers. Appearing there next week on the 11th, DRI, and I'll have something to say about them in just a second. Sunday afternoon at the Setauket Neighborhood House, Main Street in Setauket, 12 noon, the Coffee Achievers, and as they were saying earlier, a few other people, a benefit for one of the magazines that the Knox School in St. James puts out, and it's supposed to be an award-winning magazine. The fanzine, The Contact, that was mentioned earlier, Voice of a Generation, you can write to them, care of 7 Swiss Tone Street, Medford, New York, 11763. The magazine YBU, I'll be having Ron and Margo, the editors of that magazine, on my show Wednesday night between 9 and 11, and they'll have an address where to pick up that, and from what I hear, it's probably the best fanzine to come out in a while. A quick thing, DRI wants to play Long Island. Right now, we're going to try to find a place for them to play. If not, if there's anybody who has any contact at all with a club or a hall or just someplace where you can get a group of people together, you know, please give us a call, you know, here at the station. The number is 246-7901. Call up the people you know, DRI, we can get maybe another band to play with them, and admission would be minimal. And, you know, let's get some bands all the way out here. Why do we have to travel to, you know, New York to see a show? Let's get them out here.
Well, that's very good stuff to pass along. Well, thank you for coming by tonight, Steve. Certainly made things interesting. I got all these interesting people to listen to the Ministry of Truth. Hopefully they'll be back next week.
Can I make a suggestion for next
week? Go right ahead.
Why don't you get someone from Stony Brook Concerts to talk about security?
And
stuff like that. Let's rip them, tie them to the wall.
Tie them to the wall? Sounds like a fair exchange of ideas to me. Well, we'll see about that.
Why don't you work on that?
If anyone from SAB Concerts was listening tonight, I'd like to hear from them and have them answer some of these things. Some serious charges were certainly thrown out. But thanks again, Steve, for coming by.
Thanks for having me here.
Sure. I'm Eric Corley, and I'll be back next week at this time doing something else. I don't know what. Until then, though, have yourselves a good week and stay peaceful and all that kind of thing. The Ministry of Truth.
This year has seen our miracle.